Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from a still rainy Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 26, 2012, episode 432. Good morning, horse people.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
All right, this is the time of the show when usually we come out of the music and I talk about how unbelievably hot and awful it is living in this godforsaken place called Phoenix, Arizona. But I'm going to change it up today, Glenn. I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to take a moment to list the things that I am thankful for. Okay, because it's really negative right now, and I don't want to start the show negative today. So I'm going to, I'm thankful for my horses. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my family, my husband, my dogs, the animals, the fact that I have 1 out of 9 chickens that actually lays an egg every once in a while. I'm thankful for my swimming pool, because without that, I wouldn't make it through the summer. And anything you'd like to name that you're thankful for right now?
I was just waiting for the butt at the end of that list.
There's no butt, but I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm thankful, because I saw a movie yesterday with my husband, and it's one of those movies.
Did you go see Snow White?
No, did not go see Snow White. I went to see the movie Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. And have you heard of that one yet?
No.
Okay, well, I can get my husband to go to any movie with Keira Knightley in it. So it was kind of like it's not a chick flick at all. It's more like if you've seen Little Miss Sunshine, kind of a bizarre take on things, the way that, so basically what happens in the movie is there is an asteroid coming to the planet. And every attempt to get rid of this big giant asteroid has failed, and the end of the world is coming. And everybody knows the end of the world is coming. And this movie stars Steve Carell from The Office and Keira Knightley of like Pride and Prejudice fame. And the two of them meet and end up spending time together before the end of the world. And so it's just one of those movies that you walk out and you're like, wow. But first of all, I thought it was really good. And of course I cried like 4 separate times in it. And Chad did not cry, obviously, because he doesn't cry in movies, but he actually was kind of touched by the movie, because we got home and he's like, I've got to cut the grass. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And I said, you want to go for a ride? And he's like, yeah, let's go for a ride. I just want to spend time with you. I'm like, I love that movie, because it makes you want to spend time with the ones you love. You can put down the whatever chore you had to do, put down the pitchfork, stop mowing the grass, just spend time with the one you love. And so today is a new day for me, Glenn. I'm going to be thankful that I live here in this godforsaken desert, okay? I'm going to be thankful for everything I have, because if the end of the world were to come, you never know what you're going to do. This movie is really good. I'm curious to see if anybody has heard of it. I've seen the previews a few times, and I just love Steve Carell and Keira Knightley. So you haven't heard of that movie?
I think we may have seen a trailer for it. but I don't remember much about it. Does this mean that he can drag you off to see Snow White now because you drug him off to this?
Well, you know what? He doesn't really care about seeing Snow White. And the reason he went to see this movie with me is because when he was in Canada with all the guys, they went and saw some Prometheus or some like...
Oh, yeah, film. Yeah. That was supposed to be pretty good, too.
Yeah, and all he said was he came home and he's like, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you didn't go to that movie. Oh, my God, I'm glad. He goes, you get to pick whatever movie you want because I am just so glad you did not go to that one with me. So I selected Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. And it was really, really good. And you kind of leave going, wow. Okay. And then you start to, it like sticks with you. It's one of those movies that sticks with you. And then we came home and actually Chad rode Joe Montana. My horse has only been broke for like 4 months. And I rode Jet and we just had a great time. And we had wine with dinner and we just lived a little bit because you never know when the road can end. So go ahead and enjoy every second of it.
That's I think we're going to Disney this afternoon, Jennifer.
Eat ice cream. Get whatever you want. Don't limit yourself.
I can eat some ice cream for breakfast. That would be good right now. Hey, I'll tell you later who it is, but I have a new favorite actress. You were talking about Keira Knightley. I have somebody better than Keira Knightley, and I'll tell you who that is later. I have a new favorite one.
Okay, we'll see.
And Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Tons of Fun Tuesday edition, it's Allo, Allo, Allo London Calling as our Briarfest expert Kathleen Fallon stops by with a preview of Briarfest 2012, the biggest horse-crazy little girl party in the nation, and the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer, soon-to-be international TV star, is here with some choice selections from Horse and Country TV, and thank the gal or guy who primps your pompadour, because today is National Beautician's Day.
Thank you,
seriously,
Jennifer. Before we
most of those words she just used were from like the 1950s. Adam, where do you get your thesaurus? Because it's outdated.
Because that's because she actually reads, you know, and stuff like that we don't do. And before we get to our daily winnies, you're going to start off today. I just wanted to say that we were having some technical difficulties all day yesterday and this morning, so. If some of us drop off, we'll keep the show going one way or another. With all the rain we've been having, by the way, it's up to 15 inches now. The more rain we seem to get, the worse our internet gets. So that's
You know
warning.
What? If you go to eventingnation.com, it's some chick that's moving into a barn in Ocala, and the pictures are ridiculous. The flooding and these stalls. The girls that are out there working are covered. I mean, just it's a muddy, muddy mess out there in Ocala. So I am definitely thinking about you guys and wish you could send some here.
This storm just is not moving anywhere. I mean, it's just sitting there off the coast, and it's just bringing rain after rain after rain. We're expecting 4 inches today, 4 inches tomorrow. It's supposed to finally come over land on Thursday, and guess where it's coming over land? Right over Gainesville and Ocala. And then going to head off to the Atlantic side. But we could see 2 days coming over us. It's moving at 3 miles an hour. So that's why we've had so much rain. They said some areas, including ours, may see up to 25 to 30 inches of rain before it's done.
Good
and
Lord.
The problem with that is, and you know, you've been to Florida, with all the sandy soil and these great big trees, but what are these trees covered in? Spanish moss and that other kind of mossy stuff. Well, that acts like a big sponge and gets so heavy. That's why my brother's tree is down helping out. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they get so heavy, they just fall over. And that's where we lose power and all the other things that are going on right now. But that's depressing. See, that's negative. So let's
do
your daily
Don't be negative. Later. Don't do it. Well, I'm going to be positive yet again because the negativity of Black Caviar's post-race with, oh, we're going to retire her. She tore a muscle and blah, 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 you know, it's the end of her career. And I just thought there's no way they can end her career not in Australia. She's going to have to run again. Well, they did some nuclear scintigraphy on Black Caviar, some nuke scans, following her Saturday victory.
Guided
and
radiation
revealed...
10 minutes later. No, sorry.
That is really negative. That's awful. Take that back. It revealed muscular injuries in a few locations. And how amazing is this that they actually could tell? He's like, oh, she tore some muscles. But Peter Moody knows this horse so well. So I guess it was the most serious was a tear to her quadriceps. Now, don't when you work out a lot, you're tearing your muscles anyway, and that's where they rebuild, and then you tear them, and then they rebuild, and that's how people get those really big, giant muscles. Well, I guess she's just going to have some bigger booty muscles because she tore a bunch of them in a race in September 2009, and so this is kind of the second time this has really happened significantly. But they are saying that pretty much she's going to go back out of after she gets in quarantine, and they're now contemplating excuse me, another campaign this fall. So she will be back. She will race again. There's no way they were going to let her finish in England
instead of
Australia. So they're thinking about a campaign this fall. So Black Caviar, you get my daily Winnie girlfriend because you're amazing. Carry on.
All right. Well, I kind of had a Tim Taylor, you know, moment last night. Got to go play with chainsaws, help cut up my brother's tree that almost hit his house. This tree, big tree, you know, two feet around the bottom, fell down right between the house and the barn, got about 10 feet from both, and the barn had the horse in it. So it's one of those situations. We were talking about it again last night. You know, you leave them in, take, you know, or you put them in the barn or leave them out. You know, it's still one. And I said the verdict I came up with is, you know, if the tree's going to fall on you, whether you're in or out, it doesn't matter. So it just if you tell me where the tree's going to fall, I'll tell you where to put the horse. But Aubrey, yeah. Your sister from another mother was my sister from another mother because she had a big tree, must have been 4 foot across the base, fall down at their farm over the weekend, and she wrote, it took five of us 14 hours over the weekend cutting it up and moving it. It was a big tree. And she said it was brutal, covered in poison ivy, huge and heavy, heavy, heavy. They were moving the pieces of trunk that they cut off about 12 inches long with tractors. Needless to say, I had a really hard time getting up and going to work this morning, not to mention, on top of that, I have a filling in my mouth and a tooth that fell out, and I can't get it fixed until Wednesday, and a huge fresh tattoo on my back. So I was not enjoying myself this weekend. Real sense of accomplishment, though, in getting the tree cut up. Thank God no horses were hurt. So she was also having a Tim Taylor weekend. We were bonding. We cut up trees together. Now, of course, it didn't rain for a couple hours in the afternoon. Talked to my brother, go over there at 4 o'clock, and at 4:02, it started pouring. So we cut up trees for about 20 minutes, got completely soaked, and quit for the day. So that's what happened.
My question for you and for Aubrey is you have chainsaws. Apparently she had a tractor. And did you have a tractor, Glenn?
Yeah, we have a little tractor. Yeah. Okay. We never got to the big part. It was raining too hard.
The perfect question is, did you, either one of you, cut up a giant log that spanned about 12 feet long and put it in your pasture as a cross-country jump? Because,
well,
oh my God, a fallen tree is the perfect cross-country jump in the world.
I did see Aubrey posted that I think parts of that tree did end up as jumps. I did see that she posted that. Now, I have her little post here led me to a different question off of trees, though, and that was the part about a huge, fresh tattoo on her back. And that got me thinking, tattoos are something we've never talked about. I wonder how many horse girls or guys actually get tattoos of horses or horse things, or do they get tattoos of other stuff?
Huh. I don't think horse people get tattoos of horses. And I'll tell you why. I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because I have a tattoo, and I'm a horse person, and my tattoo is not a horse. And I think that the reason...
You're using yourself as the rule.
Well, no. I think, too, you could ask Aubrey, because I know her new tattoo is not a horse, because she posted a picture of it on Facebook. And I think that the reason horse people don't get horse tattoos is because, like... People that love horses that don't know horses will get tattoos of horses on their body simply because they don't care if it looks like a real horse. But if I were to get a tattoo of a horse and one fetlock was a degree out of place, whether it was standing still or running or jumping, like if ask your brother about how many different horse emblems I made him show me before I could pick one that was jumping correctly for my farm sign. Okay? Like, I'm like, oh, no. This horse is jumping over his shoulder. I don't like that one. Oh, he's hanging a leg. And then, I mean, it was like so particular. I was so particular that if you screwed up a horse that was put on my body that I had to live with forever, it would drive me crazy.
Well, you know, so you have to find a horse person tattoo artist. Oh, we have a couple people jumping in here. Hold on. Robert Dunn says, I have a tattoo of a horse. So there you go. Robert has one. Let's see here. Aubrey posted two, I think. Let me see what she said. I don't see it, actually. Oh, Aubrey says, I don't see it. I don't see it. So, but you know how this stupid Facebook is.
I don't know.
It's not working correctly. But interesting question. That leads me. Okay, she did post. She posted on her Facebook page the pictures of the trees that they ended up cutting up and everything. And I did hop on over to see her picture of her tattoo. And oh my God, that looks like it hurt.
Yeah, my tattoo was like an inch long, and I thought I was gonna die. It's
this
like thing the most
covers
painful.
Her whole top of her back.
I know. Ouch. But so at any rate, I want to know, Robert, and you can post this underneath your last post. Do you like your tattoo? How specific were you? Or did you walk into the store and say, I'll take that horse? Or were you very specific about the type of horse? Because Robert was posting some videos of himself riding on Facebook yesterday, and he's actually a really lovely dressage rider. So I could see how you would be very particular about the type of horse that you would have put on your body. That's a random topic of discussion for you, Glenn. I can't believe you picked that. Talk about tattoos.
It just made me think that made me start to wonder. Maybe that'll be the question of the day, Jennifer. If you have a tattoo and you're a horse person, do you have any horse tattoos? Let's make that the question of the day and see what kind of interesting answers we get with that one. And that led me to something else, because I was thinking, you know, you got horse people, horse girls that are addicted to horses, and, you know, I just thought that they would have a horse tattoo. But I might be wrong on that. But I did find a post that you're going to find interesting, Jamie, and this was on one of the horse forums. No, it wasn't the Chronicle. It was a different one. And this is a guy that posted on there, and he said, here are the top 10 things I've learned dating a horse girl. Do you want to hear these?
Oh, Lord. I don't know, but this leads me to believe that we're going to have to get this guy on the show.
We might. Maybe I'll try and find him. Number 10, ponies are the cutest things on earth. Second only to her horse, and you're not on the list.
Aww.
9, you must love her horse just as much. You must love her horse. Now, he's not an English major, okay? You must love her horse just as much as you love her. Well, that's true. Any horse guy learns that immediately. And if you don't, fake it. Number 8. I love this one. I never heard of this one before. That time of the month plus grouchy horse equals scary.
I don't like men discussing that time of the month at all, ever.
I know, but I just thought that was funny.
It
number
is
seven,
unacceptable for you to even know that exists and use it
more,
as an excuse.
Are you kidding? We have to live it too. 5 more minutes of riding is rarely ever 5 real minutes. Rather, in horse land, time is defined by how irritating your horse is at that moment. This means 5 minutes can be 15 seconds or 5 hours.
That makes a good point.
That is very
I'll
true.
I'll be done in 5 minutes. I'll be done in 5 minutes. I'll be in 5.
See, you're screwed either way, because if your horse is being irritating and being, you know, out of control, or then you've got it. You can't get off at that particular moment. You've got to work through it before you can get off. That's an hour. Or if he's being absolutely wonderful, you can't get off because you're having so much fun and the horse is absolutely wonderful. That's another hour. Either way, 5 minutes is at least an hour. That's the way I put it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Number 6, often horse time bleeds into real life. Yeah, no kidding. causing the horse girl to lose any ability to comprehend the real life flow of time. What he's trying to say is if they're at the barn, forget it. There's no real world. There's no real time.
Yeah, it's amazing how much time I can kill. And I'll be like, what? What time is it? Holy cow. It is all right. I've been here 6 hours. How did that happen?
It's true. If you guys, and most, this is in the time when people actually carried a watch. By the way, does anybody carry watches anymore? None of mine even work anymore. The batteries are all dead. But they have phones now to tell time. But before that, they didn't used to bring watches to the barn either. So that whole problem has existed for a long time. Number five, she's going to be late because of this. Her horse, deal with it. That's true. That relates to number six. Number four, no, she won't hurry up because you're sulking. The horse is more important.
You know what? That is so true. I had something to do the other evening, and, oh, my God, Jet looked a little colicky. So I just took my chair out to his stall, and I sat outside his stall, and I stared at him for, like, 3.5 hours. And I walked inside, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's, like, midnight. I haven't had dinner. My house is a disaster. What? It goes to where the time go, and then my horse is the most important thing. So I didn't eat. I didn't have dinner. I didn't clean my house. All the things I was supposed to do before Chad got home. And no, I sat out for 3.5 hours staring at my horse.
And it's true. We all try it, too. Every horse guy that's new to this world that, you know, is marrying in or dating into the horse world, every one of us learns that lesson because we all try the sulky thing. And the thing is, guys don't learn very quickly, so we try it a lot, and it never works, and we don't seem to learn, and we keep trying it. I don't know, Jennifer, have I given up on the sulking thing after all these years? I think I've kind of given up on the sulking thing. It just never has worked.
What?
Sulking? No, you don't sulk anymore. No, now you just sigh. And, yeah.
Oh, hold on. I sigh instead of sulk.
What does sulking look like? Because I don't know if I would even recognize it, probably because I don't care.
Sulking is whining. You know, you're whining and you're sulking and you're going, but dear, we have to do this. And you know, it's just sulking. It's just whining.
I don't hear whining, so there you go. You can whine all you want. I don't hear that tone.
I guarantee you, Chad, is try it. We all do. Number three, her horse is the most beautiful creature on earth, even when it's irritating and attempting to bite your face off. There you go. Number two, if you're within 100 kilometers of the – this is so true, too. Listen to this one. If you're within 100 kilometers of her horse's stable, you must detour no matter how inconvenient this may be.
Wait, say that again?
So, in other words, she boards a horse, and if you're within 100 miles of her horse's stable, you must make a detour, go to the stable, no matter how inconvenient this may be, because she needs to check on her horse.
Absolutely.
And even if you weren't planning on checking on the horse, if you're in the neighborhood, we got to stop by.
Do you mind if we just pop in real quick? And, of course, then that takes you to the five-minute thing. I'll only be 5 minutes, which then 3.5 hours later. Yeah, I got it.
They all relate. They all relate. And number one, and this is true, we've had this one before. He had some new ones here, but this one is a universal one that we all learn. Never, ever, under any circumstances, utter the words, it's just a horse.
Oh, my God.
You only utter that one once.
You get broken up with for that. That's over.
Yeah, that's the one to learn right away. And then I got to tell you, though, before we run out of time here, I found this other one, and you horse women are going to love this one. I came across this doing a Google search. It's called Inside Maryland Sports, and it's a forum for sport, you know, jocks. And this guy named Hoophead, that gives you an idea. His name on the forum was Hoophead. He says, say you meet someone new. Seems interesting. And on the second date, you find out she has a horse, or B, a two-year-old, which would you date?
Okay, are you talking two-year-old child? Because I'm thinking two-year-old horse. Okay.
No, right. Two-year-old child. Jeez, you are a horse person. God. No, and there were about 100 answers, and I looked through all of them. And I have a couple of them I'll read to you, but I did look through all of them. Out of 100, how many said horse girl?
Out of 100,
two-year-old child that you're going to be taking into your life, And out of about 100 entries on this, how many said horse?
I would go with at least 70% because the horse is not a two-year-old. You can leave the horse in the stall, you know, or turn it out in the pasture. I'm afraid how this is going to turn out.
2 out of 100 said the horse girl.
The rest
took their chances with the kid. I am not kidding. I looked through all of these. I am not kidding. And here are
some of the answers.
It was on Inside Maryland Sports Forum. So this is a sports forum. Now, get it. These are a bunch of jocks. But they're willing to take a child over a girl with a horse. And here's some of the answers. I am taking my chances with the girl with the kid. Much higher odds of finding a crazy one with the horse chick. Then there was a lot of kid for sure, kid no doubt, a lot of those. And then this guy chimes in. I've done both. The girl with the two-year-old was much better. The only thing is the child will ruin your plans a few times to prepare for it. The horse girl will always ruin your plans because of her horse. It was annoying. Goes back to the list we just read. And then this final one, basically I think it comes down to two things. By the way, this was the most intelligent answer that I didn't have to cut any swearing out of.
Okay.
One, you can't compete with someone's horse. If they're going to spend that much money and put that much time into it, they really love their horse. The horse never says the wrong thing, and if I tried to spend time with her horse, I'm just getting between her and her horse. There's a guy who dated a horse girl. Number two, an easy way to get someone to love you is to get their kid to love you too. Two-year-olds are awesome, and helping with their kid is making life easier for her. Playing with her kid also gives you both something to do together as you're getting to know each other. You know what his vote was, so there you go. There's some of the answers.
Now, when I started the show, it was going to be, we're going to be positive. We're going to really celebrate the things. I listed things I was thankful for. My husband was one of the first on the list of those things. And here you are being uber negative and bagging on horse chicks. Let me tell you something. Horse chicks are very good at many, many, many things. First of all, we're determined. We're hardworking. We're not lazy. We're really good at, you know, we're really amazing at several things, and we are determined.
Hey, I married one. I've lived with one for 25 years. I know that. And you didn't tell me that we were starting out positive today. See, that was your mistake. You forgot to warn me.
I cannot believe that you're like, oh, keep going. I'm done with you today. Do we have our guest here yet? Because you know what? I am awful sick of your attitude this morning. All these people are just bagging on horse chicks, but we're, hello, your listening audience, Glenn, mainly horse chicks. So you can suck it. Jennifer, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. So if you will kindly turn your microphone on, let's have a conversation, shall we? Well, let's switch that around.
That part of it was true.
Let's turn that whole story around. You meet somebody. He's kind of interesting. On the second date, you discover he either A, has a horse, or B, has a herd of muscle cars. Which one would you date? Would I date the horse guy or the car guy? I would date the horse guy. And by the way, Glenn's on mute. I muted him. I would definitely date the car guy. I mean, the horse guy, no doubt about it. Now, the problem with horse men is they start to think that they can tell you how to, like, do your own horse.
See, that's women, the problem, though. Yeah, I'm almost inclined to go with the car guy.
See, but then if you, like, live together and you've got your horses at your house, the horses are going to spook because they're, like, revving their engines all the time and they're always covered in grease and they're laying underneath the car. I'd much rather hang with a horse guy. My husband rides with me. It's awesome. It's awesome. We had so much fun yesterday. It was fantastic. So, you know, I find that horse women, we may be a little bit crazy, but we're passionate. We're passionate. And we're hardworking, and we're determined, and we have a lot of love. We have a lot of love to give. So screw Glenn and his stupid list of stupid guy stuff. Women, horse women unite. We are here. We are queer, and we are proud of
you. You're forgetting that I'm one of the horse husbands that, you know, I'm America's horse husband. I know all that, and nothing that I said in there could you argue with. You agreed with all of it. By the way,
you know what?
You were wrong. You were wrong on another thing this morning too. Aubrey posted, Jamie, the new tattoo is three horses, just very abstract dancing horses, and there are pics of cross country logs in the album with the tree.
So I just saw the cross country logs, and you're right. It's awesome. Offset prelim line. I love it. However, if you can, Glenn, go look at that picture of her tattoo and tell me you can see three horses in that.
I got to admit, Aubrey, I couldn't see horses in there either.
I don't mean to upset the balance of your abstract horsey body art, and I appreciate the abstract nature of which you are trying to communicate, but you can't see it. So let me tell you something. I don't see any horses on that sucker. But if you can explain it to me, I'd be more than
pretty
happy.
Pretty, though. It is pretty. I like it, though. It almost looked Celtic to me. Didn't it almost look Celtic to you?
It did. It looked like Spanish or something. So anyway, let me comment on Robert Dunn's post, too, before we get to our first guest. He says that I have a tattoo of a horse, and my point was the horse people would never be satisfied with the tattoo of the horse because it would drive us crazy. Like if for some reason the angle of the fetlock was wrong or the shoulder wasn't here. Robert then posted, I have the county saddlery logo tattooed on my left arm. I like it, but the tattoo artist did get the angle wrong, so I have to bend my arm just right so the horse is pee-offing uphill. See? Told you. Drives is crazy.
Well, I don't know. Is pee-offing downhill easier?
No, you don't want a horse pee-offing downhill. Then they're not elevating, okay? They need to be sitting on their haunches and elevating their front end. If it was downhill, my God, it'd be hideous.
I can't believe that you didn't ask the same question I did on that one. Is why a county saddlery logo? Does he own part of the company? Not something I expected to hear.
There's something. Like, let me tell you something, Glenn. I had my thoroughbred for 18 years. I got him when I was 10 years old, and I kept him till I was 28 years old. And the only way I could think of to honor him, because if somebody were to tattoo him on my body, then it would just never look right to me. So I thought, well, he's a thoroughbred, and he was tattooed, and his tattoo number was like L36775. So I thought, I'll get L36775 tattooed somewhere on my arm or on my ankle or something like that. So I took a pen, and I started drawing it in different places on my body just to see where it would look the best. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what it looked like on my body? It was a prison tattoo. It looked like I had been in prison. And I had been escaped out of prison, and somewhere on my body was L36775, and I just couldn't do it. There's no way to make L36775 look sexy. So, Aubrey, if you can do an abstract design of that letter and number, I would really appreciate it. Then I would get that tattooed.
And on that note, let's take a break for our sponsor this half hour is Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. Maybe it's a tattoo. I don't know. Glenn Geek here, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. And we're going medical this week, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I wanted to feature the Vetresen Wound and Infection Hydrogel. All of this Vetresen stuff is really good. It's amazing. And not only do I know that it works, but all of my Facebook friends go nuts over this stuff. And the reason I'm featuring the hydrogel this week is because it has a different thing going for it that some other ones of these don't. It's expensive, but it's worth it. This hydrogel stuff, you spray it on like it was liquid, and it comes out like a liquid. But when it comes out, it's a very light gel, so that when you put it in the wound, it actually sticks to the wound. It doesn't, you know, like drip down. Like, so if you have a wound that's up underneath or one that's hard to get to, you can use this and you can get a really good covering of the wound with the hydrogel. I have not had anyone who I have heard that has used this that hasn't come back and said, oh my goodness, this is the best thing ever. You can use this on all your furry friends and feathered friends. You can use it on horses, dogs, cats, birds. It's just amazing, and it's clean stuff. I would highly recommend it. Give it a try.
And I know the one nice thing about the Vetresen is that you can use it in areas that are flexible, your joints and ankles and knees and things like that, and it provides that extra barrier even for flies and things as well, too.
Yeah, you know what? I had exactly that. I had a little cut on my mare's on the inside of her hock, and every time she would walk, she would pull that thing open. And I got this stuff and used it, and within just a week, it was healed. I can't say enough about it. I would definitely try it. Keep it in your tack room. Keep it in your first aid kit when you're on the road as well.
Just go to EquestrianCollections.com and search for Hydrogel, Hydrogel, and you'll find the Vetresen Wound and Infection Hydrogel, and you can pick up a bottle of it there. Vetresen, good stuff. I know Jennifer's a big believer in it, and we've used it for years. Well, now it's time for our first guest. Every year we have her back to talk about something that we were shocked how popular it is with our listening audience, because they've all owned them in the past, and it brings back memories, and that is Kathleen Fallon, who is the Vice President of Communications for Breyer. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you back again.
We're thrilled to be back with you, excited to talk about Breyer Fest, which is coming up July 20th to the 22nd at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yes, we're less than a month away, and we were actually, we lived in Lexington last year. This year we're in Florida, but we got to go last year and visit with you and got to see it and see all those crazy horse-loving women and girls just going crazy over the Breyer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we have a really fun event planned for the year. We took our theme from the Olympics, and so we're bringing a little bit of London to Lexington in honor of the Olympics. So our theme is Breyerfest British Invasion, and horse lovers will just be thrilled because we're doing a huge showcase of British breeds. So we'll have a lot of rare British breeds on exhibition there, from Gypsy Vanners to Dale's ponies, Fell ponies, Hackney horses and ponies. We have some great headline entertainment this year. Tommy Turvey's back with the Gypsy Vanner Odd Job Bob, who was the star of The Greening of Whitney Brown. We also have Sylvia Zerbini, who will be doing her 8-horse Liberty Act. And then we have Shane Adams of Knights of Valor, who is the host this year of the History Channel's Full Metal Jousting. And Shane and Knights of Valor will be with us. And they're also bringing a few guest stars from the TV show. So we're really excited about that. There's going to be a lot of fantastic horse entertainment this year.
Well, that sounds terrific. And I know that is always very popular. The stadium gets packed with people watching all the different horse entertainment. And you guys, too, have come out with some new ones I saw recently. Last year we had the opportunity, we were the first radio show ever to go down to Graceland and to do a live show from Elvis's barn. And you guys, now you have Elvis Breyers.
We do. We do. We have a great relationship with the great people at Graceland, and we have fantastic Elvis Presley collection. A lot of people are not aware that Elvis really loved horses, and we were so honored that Priscilla Presley came to Breyerfest a couple of years ago to launch the collection with us, and we've done two of his most popular and most favorite horses, Bear and Rising Sun, as well as a host of other products from the Graceland collection.
And he was actually on the one horse. It's not just the horse.
Yes. We did a beautiful resin horse, which is Elvis and his favorite horse, Rising Sun, on a bass, which features a musical treble clef, which is very appropriate for the theme. And we also did Graceland Stables horses. There are always horses at Graceland, and we were really privileged to be able to do the 4 horses that are living there now. So we have a great relationship with the folks at Graceland, and we're really honored to be a part of it. And you may not know, but this is the big 35th anniversary this year, so we've really just had a great time with them and doing the Elvis collection.
Well, and I know one of the big things that happens every year at Briarfest, and Jennifer used to do this because she actually has some artistic ability, is Briar sells blanks. And one of the things that happens is people have really made serious hobbies out of painting these horses.
Yes.
And that has become huge.
Yes, it has. Well, I think in the early days of Briar, a lot of fans were frustrated that we didn't have as many colors that they wanted and things like that. So they started repainting Briar models. And as that's gone on in years, there have been people who've actually made careers out of repainting and customizing Briar models and making them you can sort of remold them and resculpt them a little bit, and it's gotten really popular. And one of the things that we do at Briarfest for the kids is a big craft and activity tent where all the activities are free for them, and they're able to come in and paint their own Briar model. So we have stablemate painting for kids, and parents can't believe how much the children love to be involved in this artistic activity. So we encourage that. We have a lot of crafts and activities available for all the kids at Briarfest for free as part of their ticket price.
What is the most number of Briars that you know about somebody having?
There are some very serious collectors out there. I know that
I'm
going to
think this is crazy, aren't I? I'm going to think this is nuts.
Well, no, I mean, there are people who've been, don't forget, Briar is one of the oldest American toy companies. We've been around since 1950, and there are people that have been collecting since 1950. And, of course, we made, much fewer models, back in the day. Today we make many more. But there are people who have collections upwards of 3,000 or 4,000 models. And there are people who might have just about every model that's ever been made. So there are some pretty pristine, large collections out there today.
Wow, that's a lot. You need a whole house house.
But there's a lot of ways to collect. I mean, people collect in different ways. Some people just collect China models. Some people collect a specific breed. Some people like a specific model like an Arabian or a Clydesdale Drafter or a Thoroughbred, so they'll collect that model in every single color. So there's a lot of different ways to collect, and some people just get what they like, and they have a broad collection that just speaks to them. That's the great thing about Briar. I mean, there's something for everyone because we have such a depth of different breeds and molds in our collection. I mean, nobody has as many models as we do. It's just, it would be hard for someone to catch up with us at this point because we're always looking for something new to do as well. So we've got some new ones coming out this year. In fact, later in the year that people will be thrilled about.
Now, do you know how many that you guys have made since it started? Do you know how many different ones have been made?
Oh, gosh, I really don't. I mean, we make about 5 million models every year. We're sold internationally, which maybe people are not aware of, but we have distribution in Asia, in Australia, in Europe, in Scandinavia. So Briar's been growing steadily over the years, and it's very exciting to us to be working closely with our foreign distributors. In fact, we have a number of them coming to Briarfest to see what it's all about because they're thinking they might want to have a festival in their countries someday. So it's really been an exciting thing to watch Briar's growth over the years.
Is it like anything else? I mean, the shows on TV right now about, going out and finding junk and doing all those are becoming very popular. The guys who go out and scour the countryside. And one of the things you learn is stuff in boxes is always worth more. Is that true with collectible Briars? If it's in the box and never been opened, it's worth more?
Well, actually not. Briar is one of those collectibles that many serious collectors, they like to have the box if they can, but it's really the condition of the model itself. Is the model as pristine and beautifully kept as the day they got it, that's what's important to them. A lot of collectors like to display their models because why keep it in a box when, I mean, first of all, it's a toy. Let's start there. You know, we hate to see kids being told to keep their model horses in a box. I mean, they should play with them. I mean, that's the point. And so a lot of collectors, though, like to have their models out and displayed. So what they'll do is they'll take the boxes and keep them, but they'll flatten them and store them separately just so they can have their models out and about and live with their models. And that's what most people do.
I got to tell you, Glenn, hello. Glenn actually bought me a Briar as a gift when we were in California. Let me just tell you, Glenn, Barbaro would not have been happy being in the box. Barbaro needed to be free.
Exactly, exactly. And they have to run free, wild and free.
And Barbaro is currently sitting on the top shelf in my office with Zenyatta Secretariat and Man of War. Thank you very much.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Yes.
However, I must ask you, and I think we discussed this before, but I totally forgot. Man of War suffered a broken leg in the earthquake of, like, 1999 in Atlanta. And currently he's laying on his side with his leg next to him. And
oh,
I just,
dear. Well,
no,
I
don't know.
I think you need to visit our website at www.briarhorses.com and go to the model horse hobby section, and there you can download some instructions on how to repair your Briar models. So we've got all sorts of practical hints and tips about keeping your models in tip-top shape. And while you're there, you can buy tickets for Briarfest.
There you go. There you go. You can do it all at Briar's website. Now, any other up-and-coming models that we should know about? Don't you guys release one at Briarfest every year? Can you give us a hint?
Well, we have lots of special run models being released at Briarfest this year, and one very special model that if you buy a three-day ticket, you will get with your ticket is of our Briarfest celebration horse. We make one every year, and this year it is an American drum horse, which is a new breed that is sort of based on the British drum horses, and our horse is owned by Laura Moon, and his name is Mariah's Boone, and he's an American drum horse. And drum horses are a combination of Shire, Clydesdales, and Gypsy horses, where none of the three breeds exceed about 78% of the 87% of the total makeup. So he is a big boy, and Laura Moon
hairy,
has a
very hairy, right?
He has a lot of feathering. Yes, yeah. He does have a lot of feathering. And we made a beautiful model of Mariah's Boone that's part of the Briarfest three-day ticket purchase. And I think people will be really excited because, as I said before, our theme is British invasion. And Laura is going to show what drum horses really do at Briarfest. So I think we're in for a real treat. We also have a Beatles tribute band coming to play, Britbeat, on Saturday night. So we're doing lots of different things. We've got cricket. We've got our British breed showcase. We have Kentucky Shakespeare coming. We have the big circus performers. We mix it up at Briarfest. So it's really a fun festival that is all about horses. And this year it's all about British-themed horses, British breeds. Rare British breeds, and from yesterday with the jousting to today.
Hey, it was funny when you mentioned Kentucky Shakespeare. That just made me think of these guys speaking Shakespeare with a Southern accent.
well,
Kathleen, what's the dates again?
The dates are July 20th to the 22nd. It's at the Kentucky Horse Park. It's the Briarfest British Invasion. It's our 23rd annual horse fair and model horse festival, and we'd love to see you there.
All right, and you can find it. More information about it, I will post the link on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, but it's
BriarHorses.com.
Yep, and you can find out more information about it there. By the way, I love the logo this year for it, and I'll use that as my show notes logo today because I think it's cool. It's fun.
We'll have to get you a T-shirt. We've got some really fun gear that we're making for Briarfest using that logo, so we'll get you T-shirts.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, Kathleen.
All right, thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you there. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm shopping online right now at briarhorses.com.
Did you see the logo for the British Invasion? It's kind of cool.
I did not.
You're shopping,
so
what are you buying?
Well, I was trying to remember. They had some other racehorses, and I like to collect the racehorses. So I was looking, do they have a Briar cigar? Did they have a Briar? You know, I was looking for different racehorses that they've done for Briar. And I don't know, I can't find any. I should have asked her.
Is a whole section. I know we had to go on there once. There is a whole section on there about how to fix your horse and do it so that it doesn't show. That is, you know, if it was a clean break of the leg.
Well, I'll tell you what, super glue 17 times has not worked. So there's got to be some sort of system to it.
Now, before we get to the song, have you been keeping an eye on Facebook? Because Jennifer posted my question of the day, which totally says that you're wrong today, by the way. Do horse people get horse tattoos? And boy, oh boy, it's been overwhelming. There's a lot of horse people getting horse tattoos. A lot of them. I got three. I have two horse tattoos. I have my first quarter horse tattooed on my hip. For me, I have one. I have one tattooed. A lot of my friends have them as well.
How many people like our page?
On and on and on.
How many people like our
Angela
page?
From Horse Girl TV. Actually, Angela Walker from Horse Girl TV said, yes, I know lots of them, including me. She posted on Twitter, just on and on. I'm really, there's a lot of them.
I don't think that everybody that reads this is going to just take it right down. Hey, I don't have any horse tattoos. Nobody comments on things like that. They only comment on things that they know. But you're right. A lot of horse girls get horse tattoos. And apparently a lot of people like the one of the photo you posted. That's very popular. Somebody's like, I'm going to get that one. I like that one.
Yeah, I don't know where Jennifer found that one, but it actually is a pretty good horse tattoo. There's not a lot that the tattoo artist could screw up on that one.
No, it's pretty good. Pretty nice. Well, let's play the song, and then we're going to get to Victoria Spicer, because she's just everybody's favorite Brit to talk to. So we'll get to her in just a second. But I want to play the song because I love this song. What did you pick for today?
How about Ride My Horse More by Jared Rogerson?
City smoke in the air, you can't see it from anywhere. There's a million people driving around, going nowhere. Buildings grew all around me, but I still got a painted pony. Gonna give her a job, 'cause she's fat and bored. I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can doesn't mean that you always should. And I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more. Mother Nature, she's been beat up, and I'd say she's been abused. Now even the ocean's black and blue. Gasoline just turns to haze, and my wallet's on empty anyway. Holding the reins is something I can afford, so I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can doesn't mean that you always should. And I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more.
love that song. I mean, come on. It's a dude talking about riding his horses more. It's a good-looking cowboy talking about riding his horse more. I mean, come on. That, what's not
okay,
to love?
Do you forgive me for earlier now because I played your song?
No, because you were going to play the song irregardless of what you said earlier. So I'm going to need a distinct written-out apology before the end of the show for being, you know, like, this is your livelihood, Glenn. You are so negative. And you're not allowed to get those guys on, by the way, because you can do your own special guy episode sometime when I'm out of town, because I will lose my mind. Lose my mind. So at any rate, that was Jared
Talk about
Rogerson.
Amazon.
Hey, you guys, if you're going to go to Amazon.com, do us a favor and go to horsesinthemorning.com first, then click on the little Amazon button, and then it'll take you over to Amazon, and then we get a little bit of a kickback. And just letting you know, the way the economy's going here, we could use a little kickback. If you're going to shop anyway, just go to horsesinthemorning.com. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And now, Glenn, how exactly are you going to pay me back for the $200 worth of Ulcer Guard I just bought through Amazon.com by clicking on the Horses in the Morning page?
Oh, terrific.
I want to see
Thank
some
you very
of that.
Much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you guys, seriously, here's the hot tip. If you need Ulcer Guard or GastroGuard, it's the same thing. The Ulcer Guard, they just break it up into four doses. Go to Horses in the Morning, click on the Amazon button, and go to Amazon.com. Dude, I got it for like $27 a tube. $27.99 a tube. And if you go to another website or a catalog that gets sent to you all the time that's very smart, it's like $37.99 a tube in that catalog. Down to $27.99, like $10 to $11 less on Amazon.com. And you just basically, I ordered it. It came like 2 days later. I got it yesterday. It was amazing. And I wanted to have it in time for the competition I'm going to go to because he gets too stressed out. So I got it super quick through Amazon.com, and it was such a savings. I saved over $100 by going to Amazon.com via horsesinthemorning.com. So there you go, Glenn. When you get that big bump, know where it came from.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. We really appreciate that. it's good you did that before you were mad at me this morning, so I'm glad you bought it yesterday.
Exactly. I bought it several days ago. It just came yesterday, so we're all clear now. We're all clear.
All right, good.
There you go.
And I wanted to tell you, everybody, too, it doesn't matter what you buy, whether it's horse stuff or just regular stuff. It doesn't matter. You know, whatever you buy at Amazon, books,
but
whatever.
I'm just giving them a heads up that the Ulcer Guard is, like, way cheaper on Amazon.com. I don't know why. I don't know how.
I think they got that. Also, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is over in the producer chair. And, you know, I don't really have a Horse Radio Network show highlight. We didn't have any come out this morning. But I will say that coming out a little later in the day is going to be the driving radio show. And you're going to want to check in on that show. Jamie, I think you'd find that show interesting as well. We had a question from a listener. Rhonda sent in a question about long lining. And there is one guy in this world that is an expert at long lining, and I think you might have seen him in sometime in the past too. And that is Clay Meyer from the Kentucky Horse Park. He's the Frisian guy, the guy with the Frisians at the Kentucky Horse Park. If you've been to the Kentucky Horse Park, and he's been there, he did the opening ceremonies at the World Equestrian Games. And he just knows long lining. And we spent about 20, 30 minutes talking about long lining and the importance of it, and long reining, or whatever you want to call it. So
Or is he from Kentucky?
He was from the West someplace. I'm not sure he was from California, but he actually had an interesting past. He works with the Frisians now. He actually was working with Frisians when there were only 12 Frisians in the country. He was one of the first ones. And he had driven all nine of those 12. And worked with nine of the 12 of the. Do you know him?
I do because he actually did Equitana when I was participating in Equitana
the first year
I came to Louisville.
That is correct. He did. He used to do that all across the country. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, and
he's awesome.
He actually did, and he talked about this too. You know, we had Monty Roberts on to talk about being part of that Queen's Jubilee, the horse event that she had. Well, Clay was as well. He was in charge of the American contingent. He's the one that put together all the cowboys and Indians and all that stuff. And that's what he put together. And I didn't realize that he used to be a bronc rider. He used to drive chuck wagons and chuck wagon races. I mean, this guy has done a ton of stuff. It was very interesting.
You dropped out there for a second, Glenn. So he very interesting guy, and he's very, very kind. I just remember him from a long time ago. It was such a sweet guy. So that's awesome you guys have him on, so maybe I'll tune in. I will listen to the driving radio show. If Wendy can send me a version where you are edited out and it's only her and Clay.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. That would be great. That would be the way to do it. All right. So, Glenn, why don't you go ahead and call back, and I'll do a little news story for you. And it just keeps going on. You know, we always have rescue stories. And this is no different. British firefighter Buster Brown has come. Yes. The firefighter's
really?
Name is Buster Brown.
No.
Yeah.
You're making that up.
I'm not. British firefighter Buster Brown came to the aid of a foal trapped in basically a big old mud pit in Hampshire, England. I guess the rescue was called to help the foal that was stuck. The mare and the foal were kind of stuck beside a steep seawall, and the owner had gone out in the morning to check on her ponies, and she knew the mare was close to giving birth. Well, apparently the foal dropped into the mud, and the mare stood by it and protected it until somebody could come to help the foal. How amazing is that? This mare would not leave this mud pit up until they got there to rescue it. So apparently they had to climb down in there because it couldn't get out itself because, oh my God, it's a newborn and it's covered in mud and it's stuck in the mire. And the mare, the only thing that they would let her, the mare would let them do was walk up and grab the foal. And she wouldn't let anybody else near, just the firefighter. Isn't that cool?
And this was 12 hours old. I mean, this baby could barely walk to begin with. And you're right. I'm seeing the picture here. This baby is stuck up to its chest in this mud.
Yeah. Well, it couldn't get up. And so I wondered if it got its colostrum and all that. I mean, I guess the second that they got it up, they put it onto the grass meadow at the top of the hill. And all of a sudden, it shook off. It whinnied, and they both ran off to go. And the foal started getting colostrum from the mare. Just a really cool story that the mare just would not, like, stupid mare, why would you have your baby in a mud pit? Hello? I mean, don't you worry about the umbilical cord?
We've certainly never had a rescue story with a foal before. That's a first.
I know. So, anyway, good story. It ends up working out. Foal's fine.
Terrific. Oh, you know what I forgot today? I forgot Victoria's fancy music.
Oh.
Can you do trumpets while I get her on the line? Just
no.
No? Okay.
No. But we could just say hello to Victoria. Hello, Victoria. How are you, love?
I'm very well. Was that your British accent?
You know, when I was in Spain, one of the guests that stayed at Epona Equestrian Center with us was from London. And I practiced my accent with her continuously, and she did not find it amusing at all, and she thought I was quite bad at it.
I think you've got better, so I think she's taught you a few tips, because it's definitely more British sounding than the last time you attempted it. So.
Well, and I just learned some new words, like I learned about the queue. You had to go to the queue. And the queue's quite long. Like, we were going to go to Seville and go to the big thing, and she's like, well, you have to queue.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that?
Queuing's a big thing in Britain. It's our national pastime, just standing in a polite line. And if
anyone
breaks out of line, we get very upset.
You have to understand where Jamie's from. Queue, you eat. You eat that for lunch. Barbecue. Queue is barbecue. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Exactly. We don't. I didn't know what that was, and so I learned a lot of new words. So I just felt like I practiced a little bit with you there. But I'm done now. We'll let you take it away. Hey, you were at Hickstead all week last week. How was it?
I was. No, for once, I took my horse and country hat off, and I was there working for Hickstead in the press office. So I left Jenny and Jess stood in for me last week, and they did a brilliant job. So Hickstead was brilliant, and when all these other events have been cancelled due to this endless rain, Hickside actually enjoyed some pretty nice weather, and it all went very well, and it was an excellent few days.
Oh, so tell us about the hill. How did everything work out with the hill?
It went well, actually. The bank wasn't that influential this year. Strangely enough, one of last year's runners-up, Guy Williams and his mayor, Richie Ridge, they were one of only a couple to have problems with it. So having soared down it last year without any issues, she definitely wasn't that keen this year. And she tried to refuse and run out, and then she slipped quite a bit and missed the fence at the bottom, so got eliminated. But apart from that, it actually rode really well. The fence that caused troubles this year was the water jump. Lots of people got faults at the water jump and nowhere else, which is very strange.
No kidding. Well, I did see that Paul Beecher became the first Irish winner of the Hickstead Derby since 2003. So were you able to see his ride?
I was, but do you know what? He was drawn first, and I don't think we've ever had a winner of the Hickstead Derby who was the first one out. Normally, you know, it's kind of drawn so that the more the favourites for winning are drawn later on. So we ended up with people like Will Funnell and Guy Williams, who have all won before, and all of last year's runners-up. They went towards the end. So, you know, Paul Beecher, I haven't really sort of seen that much of him. He competed last year and finished on 16 faults. And he came out and started jumping, and, you know, the class is just getting started. The girls in the press room were just enjoying a little cup of tea and settling down to watch. And suddenly he was halfway around and he jumped clear. And we thought, is he actually going to do this? And sure enough, he continued and got a perfect run. And it was just completely out of nowhere. It never happened. So, and for a very long time, we were thinking, no one else is going to get a clear round. Anyway, he's going to win. The first person to go is going to win the class. But luckily, William Funnell also went clear, which meant it went to a jump off and gave us all that added excitement of a second round.
Yeah, and, how anticlimactic would that have been? Like, the first guy out wins, okay, it's over.
Yeah, I know, and that's kind of why it's drawn as it is, so that it does, you know, build up momentum to this exciting finish, and Paul just came out, showed us all how it was done, and that was it, and came back in, and, you know, clear rounds are so rare in this competition, and in the whole history, there's only been two people who have jumped a double clear and not won it, so it just goes to show how rare they are. And Paul just came out into the second round and just, he really quite went for it. He didn't go for a steady clear. He did put a little bit of pressure on William. And William Funnell came in and he jumped a couple of fences and then knocked the gate and that was it, over. So he retired and Paul Beecher was the winner.
Wow. Congratulations to him. That's amazing. Now, moving on to, we had a small week there at the races over in England, and I want to talk a little bit about Black Caviar and the horse that I feel like you kind of introduced us to, the horse called Frankel. Now, both these horses remain undefeated, and it is almost like a battle between the Aussies and Great Britain on who is the better horse. And I've been reading blogs and people are like bagging on Black Caviar, or they're bagging on Frankel and saying Black Caviar is the best. What is going on? Give us your take.
Well, I'm not sure who's the best, and I doubt they'll ever get to race against each other. But it is pretty remarkable what Black Caviar did, because as you saw on Saturday, she won her race by a very narrow margin. And afterwards, it transpired that she was sore, that she had some soft tissue damage and she had bruising. So for her to perform as she did when she wasn't at 100% and to beat some excellent horses, including Moonlight Cloud, who's just a superb mare, and Black Caviar, you know, people were saying she wasn't impressive, but for her to win like that when she wasn't at peak condition, I think it just shows how special she is. But Frankel, as we talked about last week, you know, that wasn't a race, that was a procession. To finish 11 lengths clear, that's just incredible. And he made really quite good Group 1 horses look ordinary, and that's the Frankel effect. I don't think I'll ever see another horse quite as good as him in my lifetime. And I'm not that old.
So do you know kind of what the story is with Frankel? Like, what are they planning to do with him? Did he come out of the race okay? Is he planning on running him again? Where are they at?
I'm hoping Frankel might run next at the Coral Eclipse, which is in about a week's time. But there's a couple of options open for him, including Goodwood, which is a big summer festival. And yeah, he might go. I wonder if he'll race abroad as well. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what Henry Cecil says.
Oh, my gosh. How cool would that be, Glenn, if Frankel came to the Breeders' Cup here in the United States? Oh, my gosh, that would be
amazing. It would have been amazing. It's a shame he didn't go last year, but maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just too difficult to insure to go to those type of races.
Could be, too.
No kidding. My God, it would be too difficult to get him here, I would imagine. Now, let's talk a little bit about Barbary that's going on this weekend, because I know that our potential Olympic team are heading there. Explain to everybody what that is and why it's so important.
Barbary Castle is a really good midsummer horse trials, and it is one of the best ones to go to in that you can stand in one place and see a lot of what's going on, which is always quite good. And it's a big three-star event, and yeah, a lot of the Olympians are going to be there, and they're going to be riding through the eventing dressage test for the games, so we'll get to see them compete there, and all their Olympic horses are out, and it's going to be, you know, a good performance there from any country is going to build some confidence in the run-up to Greenwich, so it's going to be an exciting weekend, I think.
Well, it absolutely is, and I know that a lot of the American riders are blogging away about being there and how spectacular it is, but my God, I mean, obviously for the American team, the pressure. You know, at least most of the other teams that are there have been named, and they know who's going to be in it. And I did hear that there's over 900 entries to Barbary Castle.
Oh, my God.
Gosh.
Yeah, they also do the lower levels as well as the three-star. So they go all the way up to the three-star. So 900 entries on that cross-country course. And some, I mean, these American riders are basically riding for their life. You know, the rest of their life, they'll be an Olympic rider, but they have to do well here at Barbary Castle. And that's how they're making the selections. The final selections, that is, for the Olympics. Now, do you know anything about the 900 entries or what's going on over there?
I think, I mean, it's always going to be quite a popular event, and when you do have lots of levels, you know, quite often at any kind of standard event, you'll have several sections of pre-novice and novice and all the lower levels. So that's probably why, but also because there's been so many cancellations. And I spoke to Pippa Funnell last week. She was down supporting William at Hickstead, and she actually won a show jumping class as well, because Pippa isn't happy with, you know, just being the Rolex Grand Slam winner. She has to give the show jumpers a run for her money as well, and she's won at Horse of the Year show, and now she's won at Hickstead as well, so she likes to come and show them how it's done occasionally. And she was talking about how she was going to Salperton horse trials and was wondering whether it was going to go ahead, and in the end I think they did cancel on Sunday. And I asked her if she could ever remember a season like it, and she said she couldn't. There's just never been so many cancellations, so when an event does go ahead, everybody and their wife wants to compete there.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's going to be an awesome weekend. We'll definitely have a lot to talk about next week, because we will probably about this time be figuring out who our eventing Olympic team is. But you guys have already named your Olympic dressage team, is that correct?
Yeah, we've got our eventers all selected, and now we've got our dressage team, which I have to say was probably the least surprising decision in the world. We have Carl Hester, Charlotte Duchardin, and Laurel Bechtolsheimer. All three of them are more than capable of scoring 8% plus if all goes well. And so they're our team. And we also have an individual, Richard Davison, which I think there was a little bit of contention between him and Emil Fauri, who's a very good rider, who would get that coveted last space. And it must be hard when it's kind of between two riders and only one of them can get the final place. So commiserations to Emil, but I'm sure there'll be more to come from his horse, Max. And yeah, so we've only got the jumping team left to go, and I think it's going to be decided fairly soon. We're confident that Nick Skelton's got a place. He's got two of the best horses in the world. He's on spectacular form. And I think Ben Mayer is pretty likely to get selected as well. So just waiting to find out who's going to get the last two places. I'm very excited because a rider called Scott Brash is one of our likelihoods to get on the show jumping team, and he comes from my hometown. So it will be really nice if I have an Olympian who's from my hometown up in Scotland.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. That would be cool. So, well, good luck to you and your hometown hero there. Now, tell us what's coming up this week. I know you've got highlights from Lemulim.
We do indeed. So you can watch Michael Young showing us all how to do it. And that'll be on Horse and Country TV this week on Sky 280 in the UK and Ireland. And yes, unfortunately, it won't be available online, but I'm sure we'll have lots of good eventing programs going up there. So do keep checking back on horseandcountry.tv/video for all our free content.
And I do think before we let you go, you guys do have the video online now that is celebrity barrel racing.
Yes, at the Hickstead Derby meeting, they normally have celebrity polo, and they've done it for a few years. This year, we went all a bit Western, and we had barrel racing, and we had a number of top show jumpers came and gave it a go, including Ben Mayer. And there's a picture on the Hickstead Facebook page, which you should maybe go and check out, which is facebook.com/Hickstead. And it's a picture of Ben Mayer, one of the best show jumpers in the world, riding barrel racing in the exact same elegant position that he rides show jumping. I don't know how he does it. All the other riders, including Jeff Billington, which, again, you have to see this picture. And I don't know if you guys remember Jeff Billington. He is a British show jumper, and he came across to Atlanta in 1996 with a horse called It's Otto. And the pair of them were just real characters, and everybody loved them. And Jeff just looked hilarious. You know, he looks terrified. His legs are sticking out at right angles. Ben Mayer could win a style prize. So do go and have a look at those.
I am watching him actually ride at the barrel racing right now. And he looks like he's going to get bounced out of the tack. Oh, he can't suffer either. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
He's an Olympic show jumper, he says. Or as he once said in an interview when he said, when did you last make people laugh? He said, when I told them that I was an Olympic athlete. He's not built like the most athletic person. And when he got asked to do the competition, he said, am I going to be the barrel? do watch that. He's great. A real character.
Did I see a carriage on there? A celebrity scurry?
Yes, now Jenny Riddle got to be in the celebrity scurry, so you can watch that in a future episode of Riddle's Roundup, which will be on from next week, and on the website as well. And yeah, the scurry driving, they have a proper scurry driver, and they go around this course of cones at top speed with these zippy little ponies. It's great to watch. And then they had like a show jumper and the course designer and Jenny kind of battling it out to win. And the prize went to Trevor Breen, who's Shane Breen's younger brother, who kept winning everything at Hickstead. So he also won the Speed Derby. And he got presented by Henry Cavill. And I don't know if you've heard of him yet, but he's a British actor, and he's going to play Superman in the upcoming Superman Man of Steel film. So we had a Hollywood film star at Hickstead this weekend.
Nice.
Yes. Indeed.
Well, awesome. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us as you do every Tuesday. Thank you for coming on and telling us what's going across the pond. And we will talk next week. I mean, we're going to have a lot to talk about with Barbara Castle going on. So can't wait to catch up with you next week.
Excellent. I will speak to you then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, they're all right. Caught up on everything England right now.
A lot of stuff going on.
There is. And speaking of a lot of stuff going on, I want to go back to our Facebook page here. I was just over taking a look at all those pictures. And celebrity barrel racing would be fun. That would be a fun thing to do. But the comments keep coming in. I got to tell you, Jamie, we're up to 23 people who have said now that they have horse tattoos.
Nice.
And I can see... And also, we've been talking about it all morning about poor Aubrey's tattoo. She did post it on there with kind of an outline of the horses, and I actually do see the horses now. With the outline, I can see the horses now.
Yes. I didn't see them before the outline, but, yeah, she's got them kind of superimposed, drawn on there. But it is very cool, but it also looks incredibly painful. Girl, I don't know how you did that. Again,
she said it took 4 straight hours.
Yeah.
That's four hours of pain. And they don't let you drink beforehand either. They won't let you drink during either. It's weird.
And you don't mean Coke, do you?
No. Booze.
No.
Shots of whiskey. They won't let you.
Well, they let you know before they, on the old Westerns, before they operated and took the bullet out, they always said to take a drink. You'd think it'd work the same way.
Bite a stick, you know, and take a drink and bite a stick. That was what pain management was back in the day.
Right. Not anymore, I guess. They've ruined it.
Yeah.
Wonder if it's because it does it thin the blood? I wonder why.
I don't know, but tattoo people are kind of funky anyway. Like, they like that pain stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want it to be masks. They want to go through it. Maybe, I don't know if Aubrey's the same way, but a lot of the tattoo people I know, they love it. Bring on the pain. Y'all are crazy.
I got a little one. Numb the whole area with shots. Thank you very much. Sharp.
I got a tiny one, and I cried, like, the whole time. So I'm not into pain.
I think that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you being here. You can join us again tomorrow morning at Horses in the Morning. Will you warn me when we're going to have an Uber positive today so I can plan my content?
Can I tell you that, you know, I love everybody. I love everything. Thank you for listeners and thank you for being here and being a part of our show and participating. Glenn, your job is tomorrow. You're going to come out and say what you're thankful for, and you're going to be positive, and you're going to be happy, and you're going to be upbeat and loving life and loving your horse wife. And you better come up with some really nice things to say about horse chicks.
Okay, I'll do that. And I'll come up with the top 10 things I've learned from dating a horse girl, and I'll make them all positive.
Obviously, life lessons is what we teach you guys, okay?
All right, I'll come up with 10 of those before tomorrow, right?
You better. And they better be 10 happy, positive ones, okay? You got it? Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
10 of them. Take me all day.
They better be nice.
I'll work on that. I need help, listeners. Post 10 good things.
Don't you help him. Nobody helps him. He's on his own.